Well, today we're starting a new audio series called A Conversation On, where we're going to ask some of our amazing thought leaders in the association community to share some of their valuable insights that we can all apply in our everyday work. Today's inaugural conversation is called A Conversation on Leadership. And I have the honor of speaking with Glenn Tecker, founder of Tecker International, who is widely acknowledged as one of the world's foremost experts on nonprofit leadership and strategy. Glenn, you know, we've talked many times about how we are living in interesting times, how the world is changing rapidly, and that requires us to look at our leadership, and leadership is evolving. When we spoke most recently, you had some interesting insights on the evolution of leadership. So help us understand what your thoughts are, Glenn.
Now, ASAE and our community has been on an interesting journey in terms of the perception of executive directors and CEOs as co-leaders of associations. In 1950, when my father was a manager of trade and exhibit shows, ASAE's original name, by the way, it was a couple of years before he became executive secretary. And then it was a few years before he became executive director. And then it was a few years before he became executive vice president. Then it was a few years before he became president, and the president became chair of the board, and yet still more years before the title emerged as president and CEO. We have struggled for some time to earn a position for association leaders as co-leaders of the organization, as opposed to being seen as general managers of operations at one level or another. Unfortunately, we believe we are seeing some soft signals that hard-earned perception is diluting, that in too many cases, CEOs and executive directors are now being viewed as commodities and not necessarily as partners. In the late 1990s, Kate Bauer and I wrote an article that was called Why Good Execs Get Fired. And we revisited the qualitative research that fueled that particular article. We did that very recently, and we've discovered the same dynamics appear to be occurring again. What we sought to uncover was what it was elected leaders really wanted to think about their chief staff executive. And there were a couple of things that stood out. One, they wanted to think that their chief staff executive would put the needs and interests of the membership and organization before their own personal career. And what we're seeing now in our qualitative research with boards is that board members, particularly officers, are noting the transience of association managers, the movement of association execs from one association to another in apparently shorter periods of time. And that has led them, unfortunately, in many cases, to the perception that the individual is viewing their role as one step in a career. And that counters what it is they want to think about the commitment of their chief staff executive if they are to view them as a co-partner in pursuit of the mission, and not just an expert that they've hired to manage the baseball team for a period of time. The second thing that they are looking for is they want to believe that their chief staff executive understands the dynamic of the field in which the organization is involved. They recognize that board members are experts in the field, but they want their chief staff executive to have a big sense of the larger dynamic that's occurring. The example that I'll give you is the National Association of Realtors. The realtors all know that they know more about selling property than NAR's chief staff executive does, but they are willing to acknowledge that NAR's chief staff executive and their economist probably know more about the larger overall dynamics of the industry than does any individual realtor that sits on a board. Well, what they are seeing now are executives who are working hard to develop deep technical expertise in one or another function of the association. They almost use their area that they're developing this deep functional expertise in as what it is they are committing to improve or paying attention to in the organization. And the problem with that, as it's somewhat self-contradictory, is that as they demonstrate their technical expertise in that particular functional area, it often does not give them the opportunity to earn a reputation for the overall leader of the enterprise, who pays attention to those things that only the chief staff executive can really pay attention to. Do we have the right talent? Do we have the right vision? Is the relationship with our volunteer leadership solid? Who's coming up in the future for leadership? What are the soft places that we have? Where are the strengths that we can build on? What are our core competencies? What model of excellence are we employing? And in too many cases, particularly in those organizations where member leaders are leading their own enterprise, regardless of the size, they're doing a lot of reading on their own. And it's not just board stuff, board source stuff for execs of charitable organizations. They're reading McKinsey. They're reading Accenture stuff. And they understand not necessarily the substantive content of those things, but it has given them a sense of what it is they ought to see their chief staff executive paying attention to. And they're not seeing that. And for that reason, that desire that they see the chief staff executive as someone who can give them alternatives about the direction of the enterprise, something leaders do, is not showing up as frequently as it did before. Again, diminishing the perception. We are seeing some behaviors now among boards that we have not seen for 20 years, Michelle. For example, officers who want to select staff members, not just say okay to the staff member, they want to pick the staff member. We have officers and board members who are now calling staff, sending them emails at all times of the night, and not just asking for things, but giving them directions on specific projects or initiatives. Now we hope to lay off that behavior as something that new board members might not know, but one of the things that we are observing is the post-pandemic headache that exists is still having an effect on who is willing to take officer seats. And many of the most talented individuals with deep understanding of the unique dynamics of associations are not interested in taking that level of a leadership role. They'll say okay to serve on the board, but they really don't want to have to invest what's required to be a good officer. Well, if your talented individuals are backing away because they don't want to make that level of investment in being an officer, who then does emerge as being interested in being an officer? Well, it tends to be what affectionately you and I have referred to as the politicians at the party. And party not necessarily being partisan party, but the party. So what occurs is we're having individuals move into the officer spots whose motivations are further fueling this emergence or dilution of the position into a commodity for the moment. We're also seeing some horrible practices in terms of how chief staff executives are being evaluated. The chief staff executive is being held accountable for progress towards the organization's objectives as articulated in its strategic plan. But their evaluation tends to be based upon a list of job functions and position requirements. And the question that's asked in the evaluation is not, are we making progress towards our goals, which is how you would evaluate a leader who shares accountability for it. But instead, are you filling your job description? And when you take that approach to evaluation, the message that you are sending is we want you to be a general manager, not a CEO. We want you to make sure the trains run on time, but we don't want you involved in conversations about where the train should be going or whether we should take a train or an airplane. We have not seen this kind of diminishing respect, for lack of a better term, for quite some time, since the evolution of that terminology, the evolution of the title, began all those 50 some years ago. Other than that, things are going just peachy.
Well, thank you, Glenn. You always provide us with very interesting, thought-provoking perspective. So there you have it, folks, a conversation on leadership with Glenn Tecker. Thank you, Glenn. Until then, we'll see you in Atlanta, I guess. Take good care.
My pleasure, always.